John Matham
on Cape Talk.
Women's Day tomorrow, and it is National Women's Month. And what I'm doing on Tuesdays and Thursdays after the news at 4:30 is speaking to a South African woman, who is working in one of the many fields in which South African women are working. We started with somebody who was in her 11th decade, somebody 102 years old, and then last week on Thursday spoke to somebody who's in her 4th decade. We're getting a little younger this afternoon, talking to somebody who's in her 20s, Thandiwe Siyakatshana, who is a bridge engineer with the multinational company AECOM, if that's how you pronounce it. Thandiwe, good afternoon.
Afternoon, John. Yes, that's exactly how you pronounce it.
Okay, how does one become a bridge engineer? It's not a job that I've ever thought of for myself or anybody I know.
Well, I think it's pretty straightforward, or I'd like to think so. You study civil engineering, so personally I had to study civil engineering. I studied for about 4 years at the University of Cape Town. And bridge engineering is just a field in civil engineering, so it's a specialty in the civil engineering field.
Where did you go to school, Thandiwe?
University of Cape Town.
No, school.
Gold College.
And it was made clear to you by the school environment and perhaps your family environment that a young black girl could study civil engineering. Not a problem with that at all.
Yes, definitely. I think we were encouraged as young girls, so it was an all-girls school, so science subjects were definitely encouraged for us to take them up, and it was definitely made possible to know that a lot of engineers go into engineering. A lot of women go into engineering, and so that was, I think, I'd say the beginning of the journey, just knowing that it's possible.
That first year class, civil engineering class at UCT, what would have been the gender divide?
I'd say possibly 70% were men and 30% women. Yeah.
And now, sort of 10-ish years later, would that have changed? Would it have become closer to 50-50?
I think with the years, it definitely is becoming better. The more you see more women going into engineering, you know, other women are also inspired and they're not scared off by the, you know, the profession, and a lot of you know, sort of stereotypes and some biases are broken off. And so, yeah, you find that over the years, those numbers are definitely changing.
And when you started applying for jobs, I would imagine that as a young black woman with a civil engineering degree, you were quite significantly different from the applicants that had historically been applying to the company to which you were now applying.
Yeah, no, definitely, indeed. I agree.
And how did you overcome that? I mean, how did you, if you had that knowledge going into the interview that you were going to be something, if not completely out of their experience, then something that they were not used to? So how did that govern the way you approached the job interviews that you went into?
I think personally, it was more of a sort of personal thing where, you know, you're confident in your abilities and you really believe in yourself. So I really believe that I had the ability to become a good civil engineer. So I think just knowing that I had, you know, the drive and, you know, the ambition, and I knew what I wanted to achieve and my interest in the field, that didn't deter me really from feeling as though I'm less than, or, you know, just knowing that there are less people in the field. It was just really the drive that pushed me, and I don't think I thought twice about it, or I saw myself as, oh, I'm a woman, maybe I shouldn't apply for this. It never really deterred me from going for that.
And once you got into the field, how much did you have to struggle, if at all, to gain acceptance as a member of the team that could make a positive contribution rather than as something perhaps exotic and to be a little sort of suspicious about?
Yeah, John. So I'd say I don't want to say I really struggled too much in the field. I think I've had the advantage, or would I say luck, of working with people who already know about certain biases around women in the specific field. So I didn't have to go in educating, you know, most of the men that I've worked with. And so that definitely helped quite a bit. And but I think, I mean, there's obviously a few, you know, scenarios where I've had to educate people on, you know, certain things, that problems that women face in the workplace, you know. And So what I'd say I've used or have navigated around that workspace is just networking and mentorship, you know, talking to other women in the field and finding out how they themselves are navigating the field, you know. So I think that's really helped.
And what you do on a daily basis is design new bridges and oversee their construction and fix old bridges? Is it as simple and as complicated as that? And what is a day in the life of Tundi where Siaka Chana involve?
Yeah, so John, funny enough, I don't think a lot of people actually do know what civil engineers do, or bridge engineers for that fact. But yes, it is, I think I'd say, as simple as that, put simply, really. But yeah, it involves design and analysis of bridges using engineering software. And it obviously depends on the kind of project that I'm working on. But, you know, it's design and analysis of bridges. It also involves site supervision of the said bridges as well, you know, interaction with clients and the relevant stakeholders. So, yeah, that's what a day in the life of a civil engineer looks like, a day in my life.
Really. What's the best bridge in the world, according to a bridge engineer?
The best bridge in the world. I want to be a bit biased and say it's one of the ones that AECOM has recently built, which is the Ashton Bridge. It's a very nice, beautiful bridge. I'd go into the details of what kind of bridge it is, but I think we'd lose some viewers there, some listeners.
I did speak to one of the consulting engineers on that at the time that it was swung into place. And yeah.